Holy fuck.
He sends it to wins it.
Fucking A. Send it to win it.
Did you know that since like the 1980s, J-Lo has 5 rings and the Cowboys have 0?
The Cowboys or the Raiders?
Maybe it was the Raiders.
Because the Cowboys would have had 3 in the 90s.
Okay. So maybe it was the Raiders.
It's the Raiders.
Zero rings and J-Lo has 5.
That I did see that one. That was hysterical, though.
I wanted to start out the show with a little joke and making fun of some bad NFL teams. Because the season's over, so we don't, you know. Mm-hmm. Got to keep it alive somehow in the light. Hey, welcome to the show, everybody. It's season 4 still, episode 31, total episode of 151. We've been doing this stuff for 151 episodes, 151 Tuesdays. Well, back in the day, we used to do 2 shows a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Back in the heyday of this stuff. This award-winning podcast, On and Off the Field with Durf and Dylan, is brought to you by the All Sports, All Plays Network, ASAP Network, and the PartyCast Network, where the party never ends. If you're watching this live, you can see the fancy little new overlay that I made. It's pretty cool. It's not bad. Yeah. It's pretty simple. It's a brick wall. It's got some stuff on it. And you can see the logo down there in the bottom right-hand corner.
Yeah, that's great.
Very cool stuff. And the ASAP All Sports, All Plays Network. These guys were just interviewing Super Bowl players the other week. They had media access asking Super Bowl players during the media week before the Super Bowl, and they're asking questions post-Super Bowl. These guys are awesome. So you have to go check out their content. Just go to the page. There's shows going on all the time. So many shows and so much talent on this network. And it's all over the country, too. All kinds of shows, talking about all kinds of sports, all kinds of teams, everything you could possibly imagine. All Sports, All Plays Network. Go check them out. If you need a link, I'll provide one sometime, somehow. I'll do it. I promise. Just go to our Facebook page. I've already linked it like a billion times. If you haven't liked them yet, hurry up. Mm-hmm. And right before we get into some more of the action of this network, of our show today, let's make sure everyone out there is doing the old floss. Got to keep up with your flossing, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Or else you get a cavity. Which, in this sense of flossing, a cavity means we'll ban you. I don't know. Got to work on this a little bit. We got to get to the next evolution of flossing. Because flossing is recommended by 10 out of 10 podcasters everywhere, which is follow, like, observe, subscribe, and share anything on Off the Field related. Durf, how else can they floss?
All right. You can follow on TikTok, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, all by searching at OOTF Podcast. You can like by hitting that thumbs up, leaving a heart reaction, or just telling us how you like the show by leaving a review on any of our pages or on Apple Podcasts. You can observe by watching us live every week from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesdays on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can always go back and watch it again, but you can catch us live on Tuesdays. You can subscribe by clicking that subscribe button on Twitch and YouTube and making sure to ring the bell so that you get notified when we go live. And last but not least, make sure you can share by letting your friends and family know about us by sharing out the stream or any posts that you like from this award-winning podcast.
Yes, sir. And there's the man himself, the one, the only Freddy. ASAP, CEO, owner, main man, big boss dude, absolute nice. G, Mr. Freddy. Welcome
there
in.
You go.
How are you, sir? Enjoy the show, if you're still here. I think we have another show going on right now on the network, too, because there's so many shows. Like, pretty much every hour is filled with something. I mean, there's morning shows, afternoon shows. I mean, there's literally shows going on all the time. So I think there's another show going on right now, Unscripted, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh.
Same exact time. Which we've had the hosts of Unscripted on our show in the past, Logan Landers and Jason, when he used to do the whiskey something show?
Whiskey Hour podcast?
Yeah, the Whiskey Hour podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to have him. We had him on the show one time, a couple times actually. So yeah, I've ran into some familiar faces on this network. So hopefully we'll be reconvening with them for shows in the future, and then also a lot of new faces as well.
There you go.
Uni One. That means that Whiskey is over on Twitch donating biddies because he's an absolute G. Thank you very much, TJ. Jet Super Bowl champs 2222. J-E- oh, I actually have something for you here. Maybe. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. That's on my soundboard for some reason. I don't know why. Super Bowl champs in 2222. This stated on 2/22/2022. Boy, oh boy. A lot of too many damn twos. I made sure to keep the two thing out of the headline of this episode. I didn't want, I already know for a fact everyone else is doing shit with the number two. I don't want any part of it. All right. So since we have time, we're going to do some of the off the field stuff, and then we're going to jump into, there's actually a draft going on, like literally right now. For those who didn't know, the United States Football League is drafting their players as we speak. The USFL is drafting. A football league is drafting right now, and they'll be playing football in less than 2 months. We'll get to all those juicy details in a quick moment. I'm here while taking a number two. Thank you, Whiskey. That's great. Fantastic. Come on, Johnny Football, man. I there's people I want to bring up to talk about during this USFL stuff. But first and foremost, let us talk about our off the field person, which is also a Super Bowl champ now. He's been in the league for 16 seasons. Yes, the one and only Andrew Whitworth. We're going to get an ad. We're going to get an ad. Yep. As soon as I pushed play, I was like, there's no way there's not an ad on this. Son of a gun. All right, it's coming, I promise. Andrew Whitworth, 16 seasons in the NFL, and now Super Bowl champs. I would imagine he's retiring after this year.
Maybe, yeah.
I would imagine. Okay, here we go.
Andrew, it's hard to put into words what you mean to us, your team, and the city of Los Angeles. In the past 5 seasons, we've witnessed your efforts as a leader on and off the football field. You're an inspiration to countless lives you've had such an impact on. We want to make sure you know your leadership, selflessness, and care for those around you, seen and unseen, does not go unnoticed. And for that reason, we want to let you know you're this year's nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year for the LA Rams. Congrats, babe. We are so proud of you, and we love you.
That's a pretty special way to find that out.
This is a map with every single organization that you've made an impact on here in LA. Scan those QR codes underneath and click the link that pops up, and there'll be a little message from everybody.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. Man, this is really technology savvy right here.
He's an old man.
Andrew Whitworth for being nominated for NFL's Walter Payton Man of the Year Award.
All your help with these programs, especially Operation Progress and all the other organizations, are very appreciated.
We thank you.
Congrats.
Go
Bears! It's one of those things that you never really forget an instance that you had in the community, but to really see it that way and be able to kind of remember the faces or remember the moments and hear people talk about it is definitely something that kind of makes you step back a second and be like, man, how special your time's been. There we go.
This is really cool. I see you take this with me, the whole thing.
Hello, my name is Keith McConnell, and I'm the proud principal of Grape Sheet Elementary here in Watts. I just want to thank you, Andrew, for your wonderful gift of over 600 bikes you gave to all of our Grape Sheet students. Your dedication of hard work to inspire our scholars both on and off the field. And our Watts community appreciates you being such a positive, wonderful role model for all of our students. As an instructional leader here at one of LAUSD's highest need schools, it has helped me with students use this as an example of what it means to give back. Thank you again for all you do and your hard work and dedication on and off the field. Your charitable work continues to inspire our scholars. Thank you.
I've really appreciated the Rams and Molly Higgins and the job that they've done to be my partner in this and making a difference in the community, because to me, that's one of the longest lasting things we can do. And the greatest impact we can have is to not only win football games, but win where we compete and where we live. That's how you create a culture that, you know, really expands outside of your building and into your community.
People.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Andrew.
This is JC.
And Angie.
From the Serving Spoon.
Yes. We just wanted to take this time to say thank you. Congratulations on your nomination.
Congratulations.
Yes, it's you are definitely deserving of it. And we just want to say thank you for all that you've done for us, for the community, for
along
the
with our Spoon. Entire Serving, yeah, Serving
yes.
Spoon family.
Yes, thank you. Yes. You guys came through and you really made a difference. You made an impact in how just everything we, you were a
just
blessing.
A blessing. And may God continue to bless you and your family. Congratulations yes. again on your nomination.
Yes.
Best to you.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Go Rams.
Go Rams.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I think when you're in the moment and you have an opportunity to go out in the community and really see people's faces and make a difference and obviously, you know, make an impact in getting to know someone and understand kind of who they are and what makes them tick, it's always special. But then to come back, you know, down the road and say, all right, hear from them and how they're doing and the thanks that's really in their voice or just an appreciation for the relationship you created. It's always very humbling and something that kind of puts a lot of things in perspective for you. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to play in the NFL and the opportunity to impact people's lives.
My name is Dr. Valicia Adams-Kellum, and I'm the president and CEO of St. Joseph Center. I just want to give a shout out for Andrew. We appreciate all the great work you've done on and off the field. St. Joseph Center is particularly appreciative for all that you've done through your social justice fund and the amazing generosity that you showed to our families last year during the holiday season. And here are a few words from our dear neighbor who's benefited from your generosity.
Hi, my name is Lenora Young. And we would like to say as a family, Anthony DiMani, we want to say thank you for coming Christmas with you and your family, your children, taking a time out to bring us gifts for everybody. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Bless you. God bless you.
Hi, Andrew.
Hello, Mr. Whitworth.
What's up, Andrew Whitworth?
I'd like to thank Mr. Whitworth.
I want to thank you so much for empowering young leaders like myself.
Definitely wouldn't have the life we do today without your help and your support.
Andrew, sending you much love and gratitude from the youth and families that we serve.
You're always willing to just be there, man, and answer the call.
As hard as you guys see him work on the practice field and games, he's working even harder to save others.
Thank you for providing hope for so many in our community.
You're our hero, my friend.
Sports in general is about support. I mean, I think of it now as a father when my kids play in an event or compete in a competition, I'm there to support and watch them. And no different than a community that supports and watches us every single week. You think of the people that buy tickets, the companies that buy sponsorships. To me, the simplest form of giving that back as a player is to take that opportunity to support that same community that you live in, that you play in, that you have the opportunity to make an impact in. And so my way of showing that support back is to make sure that I'm in the community helping people take that next step that they want to take in their life the same way that I've been supported my entire career.
Well, there you have it. I didn't realize that video was that long, to be honest with you. I hit play and I realized, oh, wow, it's almost 7 minutes long. But that's fine, though, because that you don't have to go over like all of the accolades because they basically did it for us.
Yeah.
Because that was basically what I had in my notes was, you know, just go read what they have over at NFL.com/honors, and you can go read all of it there for yourself, along with all the other nominees. But, yeah, this dude has been doing this for 16 seasons, 16 years. He's been giving back to communities. And you can see it in that video. Obviously they had a whole board of people just thanking him. I'm sure he sat there for hours going through videos of people thanking him. So that's actually a really cool video to see. That just shows like, I know people know that they make an impact like Andrew, They're like, yeah, I've made an impact. I've done things. I've helped people. But it's always hits at a different level when you have those people come back to you. They make a video. They say thank you, and you actually see it. It's a little different.
No, definitely.
Four-time Pro Bowler, two-time All-Pro, 225 starts in 229 games for Andrew Whitworth. On the field, this dude needs no introduction. Dude's an absolute beast. So, with that out of the way now, we enter the on-the-field portion, which isn't really on the field because there's not even any active you know, an active football right now. But that doesn't mean we don't have things to talk about. We have plenty to talk about.
Yeah.
Easily. So going on right now, as we speak, is the USFL draft. I wanted to get it to actually pull up. I thought I'd be able to watch it, but I'm not sure if I can at this point. I've virtually given up. And this says that it would give me live picks. It's very, maybe we'll try after we go over. Oh, there we have it. We have it. We have picks. Sweet. So let's go over some of the basics of the USFL first.
Okay.
Number one overall pick was Shea Patterson, apparently.
Former Michigan quarterback.
Yeah, Michigan Panthers. Jeff Fisher is the head coach of the Michigan Panthers. He was Shea Patterson. I want to look up some of these names, too. Like, I thought that we'd do that for the show. Try and, like, see who we recognize, look them up. And then, like, by the end of the show, we're going to pick our team. I don't know if you've already picked your team. Do you have a pick yet?
No, I haven't picked a team yet.
I think by the end of the show, we should try and jump on a team.
All right.
Let's try and do that. There is 2 days of the draft, though, so we might need to wait till tomorrow. So to go over a quick overview, we have the Michigan Panthers led by Jeff Fisher. This is actually the draft order, too, for tonight. We have the Michigan Panthers, and you have the Tampa Bay Bandits led by Todd Haley. That name sounds very familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, the first two names sound familiar, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Todd Haley led the Cardinals to a Super Bowl appearance, and he also was the Chiefs head coach for a little while, I think, or maybe just the offensive coordinator. I'm not sure. I don't remember which one, but he was definitely an NFL name. And then you have the Philadelphia Stars, led by Bart Andress. Not sure who that is. I have a tab for these coaches pulled up. Just give me a minute. I'll get to you. Don't worry. I'll just leave that comment up, actually. Then we have the New Jersey Generals, led by Mike Riley. The Houston Gamblers, led by Kevin Sumlin. The Birmingham Stallions, led by Skip Holtz. Pittsburgh Maulers, Kirby Wilson is their head coach. And then the New Orleans Breakers, led by Larry Fedora. If I had to pick a team right off the bat that I think will suck, it's the Breakers. Like, what kind of name is the Breakers? Like, what is that based around? What? Just pull names out of hats here. Are we Washington now? Just pulling names? So this draft is a little different. It's broken up into rounds and by position, with the first round being quarterbacks. I think this actually broke it down better. Round one's quarterbacks. Rounds two through four is edge rushers and defensive ends. Rounds five through seven is offensive tackles. 8 through 11 is cornerbacks. Round 12 is, again, quarterbacks. That's all day one. That's happening right now. And then tomorrow, there's rounds 13 through 35. And the poor long snappers are last. Long snappers are round 35. Poor bastards. But they go wide receivers are picked 13 through 17, and then safeties, centers, inside linebackers, offensive guards, defensive tackles, and nose tackles. Running backs and fullbacks are rounds 27 through 28. Outside linebackers, kickers, punters, tight ends, and H-backs all the way down to 34, and then long snappers. 280 players will be selected during this draft, but I think I read somewhere else there was over 500 players who put their names into the hat to be drafted.
Oh, wow.
Any player who graduated in high school in 2020 or earlier is technically draft eligible. A lot of names. And then our first game will be on April 16th. It's a Saturday between the New Jersey Generals and the Birmingham Stallions. Set the kickoff at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Each team will get 10 games with the half of the close receiving playoff berths. All contests are held in Birmingham, Alabama, which I'm assuming they did that to avoid COVID issues. Yeah. Also saves you a bunch of money not having to send teams flying around the country to play each other. It's a smart decision for a first season league, you know?
Yeah. No, it's smart to do that.
I thought it, I think that that was, you know, one of the major problems with the XFL. Not major problems, because who would have known COVID was going to hit them?
Right.
But it's looking for those ways to save money. And if you can just have all those teams just, hey, let's go, let's just go to Alabama. Let's just get the first season under our belts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then next year we can see about, you know, flying everybody around. Let's make sure this first season is a success and just do it as simply as possible. I like that.
Yeah.
So let's see if I can pull up our draft quickly. Let's see what we have going on. I love this. I might have my team already. Actually, I don't, but this, I just think it's funny because I know who they drafted. The Birmingham Stallions, their quarterback is going to be Alex Magoo. Yeah. Do you know who Alex Magoo is?
No, I don't, but that's just sounds like
Alex Magoo is a former Seattle Seahawks backup quarterback and also the starting quarterback of the god awful Seattle Dragons back in the XFL.
Oh.
Yeah. He was awful.
Oh.
So now he gets his next shot with the USFL. Godspeed. The Houston Gamblers are going with Clayton Thorson at quarterback. That name does not ring a bell.
No.
We already went over Shea Patterson for the Michigan Panthers. The New Jersey Generals are going with Ben Holmes. Does not ring a bell.
Doesn't ring a bell, no.
Philadelphia Stars. They are going with Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, Brian Scott at quarterback. Don't know who that is. Oh, we have two very familiar names coming up. For the Pittsburgh Maulers, we have Kyle Luletta.
Ah.
Yeah. I believe he was a former Buccaneer back in the day before he made his XFL appearance. I forgot what team it was, but he was in the XFL.
Yeah, I don't remember what team, though.
So that's fun. And then this is, this guy, I might actually have my team because I love this guy. we'll see who, because we're still waiting on the New Orleans Breakers, but I'm highly doubt I'm going to be picking them. Our quarterback for the Tampa Bay Bandits is Jordan Te'amu.
Really?
Oh my god.
Oh wow.
I loved him in the XFL. He was awesome.
Yeah.
He was basically the Russell Wilson of the XFL.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kind of like Hawaiian guy, just mobile, accurate. It took him like a week or two to get going, but then like when he hit his stride, like I forgot what team it was. I don't remember. I think it was the Battle Hawks, but
the St. Louis Battle Hawks.
St. Louis Battle Hawks. He got them rolling like after a couple weeks in. Dylan, yeah, he got me here. The Giants for Kyle Luletta. That does sound correct. Thank you, sir. Thank you for correcting me. He also the Eagles legend Clayton Thorson to the Gamblers and Richmond Spiders, Kyle Luletta to the Maulers. Championship teams calling it. Clayton Thornton, an Eagles legend.
Clayton Thorson, yeah, I don't know who that is.
Here we go. We have Kyle Slaughter for the New Orleans Breakers. That's who we have. He used to be, I just pulled up his pictures here, and he used to be a Bronco. He used to be a Lion. He used to be a Viking. this undrafted free agent with the Broncos back in 2017. So he is 28 years old. out of Northern Colorado, played for a bunch of teams, and now he is in the USFL as a starting quarterback. Let's look up Shea Patterson real quick, because we have all of our quarterbacks now.
Yeah.
You know who our head coaches are? This name did sound familiar. Shea Patterson was the Michigan quarterback.
Yep.
I knew that name sounded familiar. He's only 25, and he was an undrafted free agent in 2020 who went to the Kansas City Chiefs. So apparently he's just like, you know what? Screw it. I'm not going to get a start in Kansas City. Let's go play in the USFL. Heck yeah. Good for him. I knew that name sounded familiar.
Yeah.
We already looked up. Did we look up Clayton Thorson yet?
I don't think we did. I thought we looked up. You looked up that Slaughter person.
Oh, this is your Eagles legend here. Clayton James Thorson. He was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles in the fifth round of the 2019 NFL draft out of Northwestern.
Oh, okay. I knew that name sounded somewhat familiar. Northwestern, yep.
I was going to say it maybe sounded familiar, but I wasn't going to sit here and be like, oh, I definitely know who that is.
Yeah.
Did he ever play in the NFL? He was actually waived at that same year, and then he went to the Cowboys practice squad, and he was waived again, and then he went to the Giants. Oh boy. He was with the Seahawks and the Browns on practice squads, and then he just kind of, that was it. He just bounced around for a little while. Unfortunate for a fifth round pick.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ben Holmes of the Generals. Benjamin Allen Holmes Wetzler. A baseball. I don't think this is the guy. Is this the guy? There's no way this is the guy. I'm looking at some guy in Major League Baseball. That's not a good sign. If you look at the guy, you look him up and you get a baseball player.
So I mean, make him throw.
True.
Just
brother of Pete. Pete Holmes. Pete Holmes is brother Ben Holmes. He's a 6 foot, 200 pound quarterback out of Tarleton State University.
All right.
Okie dokie. He led the Texans to back-to-back Lone Star Conference championships and undefeated seasons. So he's got...
Okay. He's got something.
There's something there. I don't know what the competition level is in the Lone Star Conference, but he's got something there, apparently. So he'll be doing it for the New Jersey Generals. We looked up Kyle Slaughter. For the Philadelphia Stars, we have Brian Scott. I want to say Byron because it has that A in it, but it's not Byron. Brian Anderson Scott. Nope, that's a 40-year-old guy. Okay, that is not the correct one.
Are we sure?
Yeah, I'm positive this time. That was not him. What college is this? Occidental? Who are we drafting, USFL? What is going on? He attended the Occidental College in California, majoring in urban environmental policy. He has a career 63% passer rating, 1,200 attempts, 763 completions, 9K yards in four seasons, 77 touchdowns, only 22 interceptions, overall 144 rating on the 4 years. And he's got some legs on him. 13 rushing touchdowns, 158 attempts, 402 yards. All right.
All right.
Don't know a lot about him.
No, it's definitely odd that we didn't see any other former XFL quarterbacks get taken. Because Magoo was taken, Te'amu.
Pretty sure Luletta was in there.
Was probably there, yeah. Like, it seems odd that, like...
Like, where's Manziel? Is he still playing football? I bet he's out of shape by now, probably.
He's probably interested in so many different things. Who knows?
Where's Kaepernick? Is he not interested in football anymore? He's kind of done with it? Maybe waiting for the XFL? Like, how many guys you think sat out the USFL to go play in the XFL next year? You think there's a possibility?
I think there's a possibility.
Because I don't know how these things work. It's been a question of mine, and I need to ask someone that's in a professional space. Because are you able to be on an NFL roster in the offseason, but be able to play in the USFL? And if you play in the USFL, are you able to play in the XFL next season? Or like, how does this contract stuff work? Are you like in the off seasons? Are you just able to go play for whoever you want? Or are you like tied to that league? That's my question.
I mean, you could probably always sign 1 year contracts.
So then when the off season
allows
comes,
allows you to bounce around. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would, you know what? That's probably, it's so hard to know. I have to do some more research because you would think that all these contracts are just for this year. And then, like, your team has rights to you when the league comes around next year. Like, you just kind of come back home, you know?
Right.
Like, if you want to play in the USFL next year and you were already drafted, you have to go report back to your team unless you've been traded or something. That's kind of how I would see it.
Yeah.
I don't know. But for Brian Scott, he actually did play in the CFL in 2017. Okay. Actually, he was only there for like half a month and he was released. He was drafted by the Rams in 2017, actually. Hmm. All right. No, just the rookie minicamp tryout. That's it. Following the NFL draft. More rookie minicamps. He was on a practice squad in the CFL, just a mess. So not really anything. Never mind. There's nothing there. Sorry, bud. And we know plenty about Kyle Uletta and Jordan Te'amu. I'm just gonna. I want to look at Jordan Te'amu's face again. This dude was fun.
Yeah.
St. Louis Battlehawks. Yeah, we nailed it. Good job. He's 24 years young. This guy.
Mm-hmm.
Did he make it onto an NFL roster? He was a backup in Kansas City after the XFL was over.
Yep.
He was sitting behind Patrick Mahomes, so that's always a good sign.
Yeah.
So those are our quarterbacks that we have for each team. I think they're just starting the second round now. And the first pick is Davin Bellamy, defensive end, goes to New Orleans. They're doing a snake draft, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Which makes sense for this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can't figure out. Oh, this guy was actually in the NFL for a while. Texans, Bengals, Titans, Niners, and Chargers. Let's see if he has any stats. Practice squad, waived. Nope, no stats. He just was in the X. He's 6'5", 259 pounds, 27 years young. And now he's in the USFL.
Nice.
And riveting stuff there. We'll keep eyes on that for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Our head coaches, like we said before, Michigan Panthers is Jeff Fisher. I don't think anyone needs an introduction on Jeff Fisher. Good old 7-9 Jeff Fisher. And then you have Larry Fedora for the New Orleans Breakers. It's 32 years of collegiate coaching experience. He was the head coach of Southern Mississippi and North Carolina. He was actually 2015 Bear Bryant National Coach of the Year finalist. Wow. So he has lots of coaching experience, that's for sure.
Hmm.
He led the Golden Eagles of Southern Mississippi to a 34-19 record from 08 to 2011. So,
all right.
They got experience. That's what I feel like
that's what we need.
We said the same thing with the XFL. I feel like we're just repeating the XFL thing when it comes to this right now. I don't want like a young head coach coming in here trying to like jumpstart my offense or my team. I need a baller. I need a guy that knows how to coach a team to bring kids together.
We need an OG.
Yeah. I don't need like this guy's coached for like 2 years, so we think he has some potential. No, that's not going to work. All right. You're bringing in like a whole brand new squad of kids. Never been together before. New league. You need someone that's led an organization before. He's a baller, and he knows how to bring a locker room together with organization.
Mm-hmm.
And people that have been coaching for, 32 years. Yeah, they're going to be able to get that done. For the New Jersey Generals, we have Mike Riley. He was the head coach in Nebraska from 2015 to 17. Had two losing records, so that's solid. What else do we have in here? He was at Oregon State for a little while. He was known as the nicest guy in college football, Riley. That's not great. He only won 54% of his games in two stints, totaling 14 years at Oregon State.
I feel like there's a YouTube video of him
having
a rant in a post-game press conference. I think this is the Mike Riley that I'm thinking of.
We might need to look into that.
With Oregon, when he was with Oregon State.
Does this guy look familiar?
Yeah, that looks like him.
That looks like Mike Riley?
Yeah.
We might have to look into that. Because being the nicest guy in football, I wouldn't think he went on a rant.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was him.
Then we have for the Pittsburgh Maulers, Kirby Wilson. He looks like a young buck.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh will be coached by Kirby Wilson. He's 23. In 23 years, he's coached the Patriots, the Washington former Redskins, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Steelers, Vikings, Browns, Cardinals, and the Raiders. He won two Super Bowl rings during his time with the Bucs and Steelers. Okay. Well, all righty then.
He's been on some championship caliber teams.
I like that.
Yeah.
He might not have been the head coach, but he's got rings. He knows what it's like to win. He's been in the environment of winners.
Mm-hmm.
He's with the Pittsburgh Maulers. Okay. And who was their quarterback? Kyle Luletta. Okay. All right. I kind of like this. I like the hire. All right. Skip Holtz will be leading the Birmingham Stallions. It's a funny word.
It's a mouthful.
The son of legendary coach Lou Holtz, Skip Holtz has coached at the college level for decades. Most recently, the head coach of Louisiana Tech. His record is 152-121. Okay. Not too much there, but, you know, he's got a winning record. He's been doing it for a long time. That's all you can really ask for. He's got experience.
Yeah.
We have Kevin Sumlin for the Houston Gamblers. Major football figure in Texas. He went 35-17 as the head coach of the University of Houston before going to Texas A&M, where he went 51-26. Okay.
There you go.
All right, Kevin. Let's see what you can do in the USFL. Now we have Todd Haley, of course, of the Tampa Bay Bandits. I think we all know who Todd Haley is.
Mm-hmm.
He had a stint with the Chiefs and then is the offensive guru who was behind the Arizona Cardinals Super Bowl run. Well, they didn't win it, but, you know, he was there. So he knows what success looks like. He knows how to run an offense, at least. The defense might suck, but we'll see what happens. Bart Andrus for the Philadelphia Stars. That's a very old-looking picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
But that looks like it was taken in the 70s. Bart here, not well-known to American football fans, but to European and Canadian fans will recognize him. He led the Amsterdam Admirals to the World Bowl Championship and later spent time as the Toronto Argonauts and Omaha Nighthawks. Okay.
All right.
Interesting hire. They went outside the country for this one.
Yeah. The
Philadelphia Stars. Sounds like he knows how to win.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like it. Let's see if we can get a draft pick update.
Definitely a wide range of head coach. Wide range of experience in head coaches here, so that's good to see.
I think, you know, at least we saw, at least with most of them, they have a lot of experience for the most part.
Yeah.
It's not like just some new guy on the block that they're thinking, you know, let's, you know, we get new young players coming in, let's just get a new young head coach. He'll be able to vibe. They'll be able to vibe with them.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not doing that here. We need experience. That's what we're looking for in this league. You can bring this team together, and then if the league is still around in like 3, 4, 5 years, then you can bring in your young, vibing head coach.
Right.
You can't do that right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
So our next pick for the Stallions was Aaron Adioe. I don't know who that is. I'm just looking for names that I know.
Right.
If we try to look up all these people, there's no.
Did the Maulers pick?
The Breakers had Davin Bellamy. The Maulers have Carlo Kemp as their defensive end in the second round.
Okay.
Carlo Kemp. There is very little information about this gentleman.
Nice.
College was Michigan. So he's staying in the northern eastish region, at least, because he's with Pittsburgh now.
Mm-hmm.
He was drafted by Green Bay, by the looks of it, in his picture. It looks like he drafted, at least.
Well, that's good.
No, but there's, like, no news or anything about him. He's a linebacker. But he's drafted as a defensive end, so Godspeed to him.
There you go.
We'll keep you updated with picks, but we want to move on to the XFL real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have a little bit of XFL news. This league doesn't start till next year. Mm-hmm. They're taking their time with it, making sure they got their footing. And I'm betting they didn't want to go live the same season as the USFL. You don't want to compete at the same exact time with your first season.
Right.
That's not smart to do. So they're doing smart things. That's a good start for the XFL.
Mm-hmm.
So they broke some news this week or last week. Oh, this is just yesterday, this tweet. They said the XFL and the NFL have reached a collaboration agreement to innovate together on game rules, officiating, health and safety, and among other areas. XFL chairwoman and owner Danny Garcia made clear this deal is not a precursor to becoming an NFL developmental league. Full story coming soon. So they don't want to be their development league. They don't want to be the G League. You know, they don't want to be the NBA's G League or like Major League Baseball's AAA club or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be their own league, but they're willing to sit down with NFL ownership and go, this is what we think's a good idea. We can test it out. You know, what do you think's a good idea? We can like try to implement it. You can see what it looks like at this level. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, here's a good idea that you can use at your level that we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the NFL sees something that the XFL does that they like, they can sit down with them and go, how do you implement that on game day? Like, what does it look like from our side to make that work on the field? Mm-hmm. Which I think is great. Absolutely fantastic. Because the XFL did so many good things in their inaugural league last year. Not their inaugural league. Their one season last year.
Yeah.
Or 2 years ago. However long ago it was. I feel like it was a while ago. 2 years ago?
Yeah. 2 years ago now, yep.
Oh, my God. But they had so many cool things. The pace of the game was fast.
Mm-hmm.
The overtime was awesome. Everything they did was fun. Two forward passes. The league was fun and energetic and different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying the NFL is going to implement two forward passes, but if they can figure out how to speed up the game with how they did everything, you know, at least help fix maybe some officiating aspects, maybe change their overtime rule. Maybe the two-point conversion rule, because they had the 1-2 and the 3-er, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was no kicking extra points. Implement something like that.
Yeah.
So I like the way that that's getting set up, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I like it that they're using the XFL and NFL can make this, you know, collaboration, because clearly, there are some things in the NFL that need change. A lot of things that work, but there's always room for improvement. And the XFL showed that in the super small sample size that we had 2 years ago now, before COVID shut them down, that, you know, football can be played with different rules and still be good football.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be the same stiff game that we played.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the past 100 years or
right.
Because they just had the centennial just last year, 2 years ago was the centennial for the NFL.
Yeah, I think 2 years ago.
we're allowed to change the game. All right. Even if it's just for one season and we can just test it out and see if the fans, you know, react to it in a good way or not. Mm-hmm. You know, the NFL has shown that they're willing to do that because they have tried some things. You could challenge pass interference calls that one season. They've shown some willingness to bend lately. So I feel with this partnership with the XFL, we might even see more bending.
Yeah.
And we just got news yesterday, 2 days ago, that they're thinking about extending Roger Goodell as the commissioner, another 4 years of Goodell. Whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing, at least we've seen some development of the game as of late.
Right.
So if he's going to be able to sit down with the XFL and come up with some new rules, some more exciting things, you know, I think Roger's a good person for it, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not, I don't know, there's a couple of things I was surprised that he, there were some examples I thought that he could have done better, but he's at least trying and trying to make the game better, and so I give him that.
All I want is effort.
Yep.
That's all I want. I want at least conversation happening. I don't want the commissioner to be just a guy's like, well, it's the NFL, what do we need to change? It's succeeding. We don't need to do anything. He just sits there. And then he shows up once a year to do the NFL draft. I need a little bit more effort here, Kamish. So I think Roger does that. I think whether you think the game's gotten worse or better, you know, obviously there's been some changes for player safety that some people don't like. But, you know, you can only it's a give and take relationship here, folks. Some things you like, some things you don't. You got to live with some of it. We'll see if we have any new picks. We got Davin, we got Carlo Kemp. We have, oh my gosh, I'm not saying this name. Freedom Akinmolodun of the Philadelphia Stars. Someone that just got picked. He was actually with the Cincinnati Bengals for a hot minute. He was with the Giants, Bengals, Titans, and Jets. Undrafted free agent in 2019. Mm-hmm. He was a practice squad guy. Never saw the field, and that's it. So I'd be willing to bet pretty much every single of these guys picked is going to follow a similar story. So
yeah.
So no need to like really dive into these people. Yeah, that's what I'm. Bryson Young, defensive end, going to the New Jersey Generals. Looks like he went to Oregon. Oregon linebacker Bryson Young.
Nice.
Getting his chance at another professional football league. Good for him. Arizona Cardinals signed him in 2020. And he also went to Atlanta.
Okay.
So there you go. And he was around. I doubt he touched the field. I'm not even going to really look into if he had touched the field or not. I'm just going to assume he didn't. But, yeah, exciting stuff for the XFL coming next year. USFL drafting right now. Going over some picks. They're drafting all of tonight, I think from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then they're drafting tomorrow as well for their next, like, 30 rounds that they're doing. And that goes on. It starts at 10 a.m. tomorrow. 10 a.m.
Nice.
And just goes until they're done. Are you starting to form an opinion about what team you want to follow? You getting there yet?
No.
Still thinking?
I feel like I need to look at their uniforms.
Oh, that's very important.
Because that's what's really going to pull me to a team.
All right, let's do it. We're doing it. All right, here we go. I'm going to share my screen. And we're going to look at some unis. Okay, so first and foremost, well, that's all of them. Let's see if we can get a breakdown here. Does it break it down for us? It will. Okay. So we have, this is the Philadelphia Stars by the looks of it. Oh, I don't need a minute 30 video. Calm down. Oh, we get all of them. This is all the teams. There's your Stallions. Okay.
Oh, there we go.
I'll try and pause it when I get to like a good view. So we got like a 49ers vibe going on here.
Yep.
Here's your New Orleans Breakers. Kind of reminds you of the St. Louis Battlehawks.
Yeah, a little bit.
So is that a wave? Is this like waves breaking? Is that what we're doing?
I think that's what it's supposed to be, yeah.
Am I?
I mean, New Orleans shouldn't be promoting waves if they, you know, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of, you said exactly what I was going to say. That seems a little... That doesn't seem like the right route to go.
I mean, no one but New Orleans is afraid of waves.
I mean, I kind of want to look up like the meanings of these teams a little bit, because that one seems a little sketchy to me.
Yeah. Just,
I do like it, though. Waves. It is waves. Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't. In New Orleans? Whose idea was this?
Someone with a lot of money that doesn't care.
Jesus. I do like them, though. The Gamblers. I'm thinking Atlanta Falcons vibe. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. I mean, the Gamblers were a team before.
Were they? Is this a thing?
Yeah, because that's where Jim Kelly played when he got drafted by the Bills in 83.
Oh, wow.
He said, I'm not going to the Bills. I'm going to go play in the USFL for a couple years.
That's right. We haven't even mentioned that in this entire show. The USFL is not a new thing. This happened in the past.
But I don't think so. The last stint with the USFL, that was probably, I want to say, early 2010s, late 2000s. The Houston Gamblers, I don't think were there. And there was a lot of weird name teams.
I tried Googling like the first round of the USFL, but I'm failing.
But the USFL back in the 80s, though, the Houston Gamblers were one of those major teams.
So this is all right. So this is cool that they like revived a team. I like that.
Yeah.
Are there any other teams from you that you know?
Not that I'm aware of.
So just the Gamblers so far, maybe.
Yeah.
You have to look into it more, maybe figure out. I do like. I'm digging this though. I like this middle guy.
Yeah.
I like that. I do like the logo too.
It is pretty nice. Yeah.
The Generals. What are we thinking here? This seems kind of bland to me.
A little bit, yeah.
I'm not really digging these right now.
No.
Not even the logo. I don't really care for that.
Yeah, the logo is just kind of odd.
That just reminds me of just like something out of the army. Just kind of...
Right.
It's too uniform, you know? Just like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. It's a 5-star general. Good for you. Pittsburgh Maulers. Okay. We got purple and orange.
Ooh.
Purple and orange. What are the thoughts on that?
Bring it on.
That's bold. I'll give them that. That's different. They'll stand out. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I don't hate it. Like, I find it funny. Because they have the guy with the hammer as their logo. So this kind of seems like this team kind of seems like it would be your like Detroit Lions, like your blue collar team.
Right.
With like the guy working, they got the hammer, you know,
mm.
But they're purple and orange. Like, the blue collar guys, like, who's your team? Oh, the Pittsburgh Maulers. Oh, the guys wearing purple uniforms. Yeah. I dig it though.
Yeah.
Ooh, the Panthers. Boston College immediately.
Yep. Or Florida State. Yeah.
True. Seminoles too. Like, for as soon as I saw it, it was just screaming, yeah. Boston College.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I can see, really.
Right.
It's just like, you know, he literally got with the Boston College guy who designed the uniforms. They're like, hey, can you just copy paste that shit? Like, Tampa Bay Bandits. The people listening to this as a podcast must be like, this show sucks. This is why you got to be here for the live show, folks. So we got orange. Orange and white.
Is it orange or red?
The one on the left looks red, but I think it's just because it's in the dark. I think it's definitely orange. It's like right on the border of orange and red. I think it's orange.
Huh.
There. So the middle one's definitely red. So they have alternate uniforms. One's red and one's orange.
Okay.
That's definitely orange, right? The one on the right.
It looks red to me.
That looks.
It's orange. Like the shine off the lights makes that it look so weird. Orange. I think you
Why wouldn't you go orange? Why, like, being in Tampa, why would you go with red? Because that's the Buccaneers color. Why would you just copy your NFL counterpart in your city? That's a bad idea. If they did orange, then it'd be like a shout out, call back to like the creamsicles.
Right.
That would be cool. I would fuck with that. But if you're just doing red, I don't really care for just red.
Yeah.
Philadelphia Stars. This shit looks old school as fuck.
Oh, that's super old school.
This is an old school uniform.
Yeah. And
it looks super arena league. Like this, you know what this reminds me of?
What's that?
This looks like some roller derby shit. Like, I don't know if people have ever watched a roller derby or like seen any movie, because there's a movie about roller derbies or any documentaries. This looks very roller derby. I mean, I don't hate. It's very bright.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
Yeah.
It's just like, it looks a little cartoony, maybe.
Yeah, it's like the color. The colors aren't wrong. It's just the volume of the colors of each color doesn't seem right.
They took the volume, like the brightness, and just shot that up to 110.
Oh yeah.
What do you think of the logo? Like the three stars? Like a little bit, little 3D action there?
I don't hate it.
It's kind of like a shooting star almost. I don't hate it. I think it's kind of cool. Yeah. It's better than just like throwing a star up there like the stupid Cowboys. Dummies. There they are. Any that you want to go back and have a second look at?
No, I don't think so.
See if we can get like a breakdown here. Here's your. There they are again, and they're all their glory. I don't know how to get it like as a full picture, but.
Oh, that's fine.
But yeah. I hate the name Breakers for New Orleans, especially with it being waves.
Right.
But I do like the uniforms.
Yeah.
I think Pittsburgh definitely gets away with the most unique one.
Yeah.
Definitely the ones that I hate the most are probably the Michigan Panthers, because that's just like, that's just Boston College. That's
right.
That's just not unique at all. I would have liked Tampa Bay more if it wasn't just red and they just copied the Buccaneers. Like, I wish they would have just gone all out on orange. Then I could have, then I would have been cool with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of red teams.
A lot of red, yeah.
Like half the league, literally.
Yeah, no, literally half the league, yeah. Look at that. And there's like this picture's weird that they made, because they have like the one red team on the left end, and then you have the ones that aren't red, and then you have the other three red ones at the other end. Like, why wouldn't you space them out a little bit? Put all three red ones right next to each other.
Whoever coordinated this photo shoot didn't do a good job.
No. Like, you had a good thing going there for the first five, and it's just like red, red, red. Have one of them wear their alternates at least. Like, put a white one in there. God. So do any of those uniforms really sell it to you? Like, I'm really focusing on this team now.
Like,
And then we got to go look at their quarterbacks too.
Like, I feel like it's either Houston or Pittsburgh.
Okay. So which one was Houston?
The all black. Oh,
the Gamblers.
The Gamblers, yeah.
Oh, in the black. That's right. I dig those. They're different. Like anything that's like all black, I think is cool.
Yeah.
So they have Clayton Thorson as their quarterback for the Gamblers.
All right.
And then Pittsburgh was Kyle Luletta.
Kyle Luletta.
I can't do Tampa Bay.
Right.
I don't want to be a fan of a Tampa Bay team. I really don't. That's unfortunate because I love
them. And I like their name too, the Bandits. Like,
yeah.
That's like, you know, the Buffalo's Bandits, the cross team.
So many ads on this page. Let's see if we got. Oh, we got some brothers playing against each other, I think. We got Aaron Eddie Oway and Addie Whale added for the Houston Gamblers and Stallions. It looks like got some brothers.
I would
guess. Kind of a weird last name to be two of them. Kevin Walker, Colian Hill, defensive end to the Generals. Gus Cumberlander to the Stars. Michael Scott to the Bandits.
They got Michael Scott.
They got Michael Scott, the one and only. I'd be willing to bet that's not the one we're thinking of, but hey, that's pretty cool.
Maybe he does Scott's tots off the field.
Hey, tell you what, he's trying to raise some money for that Scott's tots program.
the 5K against rabies.
He's taking all this stuff to a professional level now. Ooh, there's your away uniforms. That might help. So we got the Gamblers here in the white. Yeah. Still, it's like going strong with the purple vibes for Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I hate this. I hate Michigan.
Yep.
Like, you have this baby blue with the brown and the tan. That's
just, yeah. That's awful. Like the little streak of like the pin. It's like the pinstripe of blue. Just they just like, we need a weird color to go with this. And they said, so it's not Boston College. Here, let's put a blue in here.
Right. No. If we put like maroon or something in there, then like anything other, we're just copying Boston College or the Seminoles. Let's throw in a weird color. Yeah, that's exactly what they did. I'm digging the Philadelphia Stars. I do like this neon yellow.
Their away uniform. Their away uniform does definitely look pretty good.
That looks cleaner than their home one with the red. That red just makes it way too fluorescent.
Well, yeah, with like the bright yellow pants.
Yeah. I like it with the white.
Yeah, it does look better. Their helmet is just so bright yellow, and we don't have that in the NFL right now, and that's like so, I think it feels so different about it.
Yeah, I feel like the only team that might have ever done something like that, like, was in college, and I'm sure, like, Oregon has the shiny helmets. Because Oregon is the team that always has, like, the 10,000 different uniform combinations.
Well, yeah, because of their partnership with Nike.
Yeah, so they always have weird stuff going on. So I'm sure they've had some bright colors, but I'm just, my least favorite is definitely Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And I do love New Orleans. I'm digging the blue. Mm-hmm. It's like the perfect color blue, but I hate the name. But I love Pittsburgh. I love that purple and orange. That's so cool. Hey, it's Rapid Dave. We're talking about uniform colors, bud. That's what we do now. We're trying to pick our teams based off of uniforms and quarterbacks. Can I trust Kyle Luletta to lead my Pittsburgh Maulers? Can I really do that? Can I sit here and be honest with myself and tell myself I want to be the fan of Kyle Luletta?
What college did he play for?
Let's find out.
Like, I feel like he was like a talked about. I feel like he's one of those quarterbacks that was like hyped up.
I mean, he was drafted. He was with the Giants and actually played football.
Right.
Yeah. Fourth round of the 2018 draft. He was the quarterback at Richmond.
Okay.
He actually tore his ACL in 2016 on a QB scramble when he was with Richmond. So that's unfortunate. That might have really hurt his career.
Yeah.
But he was drafted in 2018 in the fourth round. Trying to find, did he actually play? Oh, no. Uh-oh. He was charged with eluding police, a third-degree crime, obstructing administration of law and resisting arrest, motor vehicle charges for reckless driving, disregarding an officer's directions, an improper turn into a marked traffic lane, and failure to remain in a marked lane. So he went to jail. but he did make his first NFL appearance on December 9th in relief of Eli Manning in a 40-16 victory over the Washington former Redskins. He threw five incompletions and threw an interception to Mason Foster in the fourth quarter for a passer rating of zero. his last game as a Giant, last time he was seen was in week 17 against the Cowboys, and he was a blocker in the 2018 season. And then he never played in another game. What a history of this guy.
Already.
I might have my team here.
Yeah.
I mean, we got the cool uniforms. We got a guy who he actually saw the field in the NFL, so that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would have been with the Bandits just off of Jordan Te'amu.
Right.
I just don't know why I can't go with Tampa.
Right.
Something about it, I just don't want to be a part of it for some reason.
All right. I think I'm going to go with Houston then.
You're going with the Gamblers?
I'm going to go with the Gamblers.
The Houston Gamblers with Clayton Thorson.
Yeah.
The old Eagles legend from Dylan Busby. The Eagles legend Clayton Thorson. Well, according to him, we might have that might be our championship matchup between you and me then. If you take the Gamblers with Clayton Thorson, and then I got the Richmond Spider, Kyle Lauletta, with Pittsburgh, we might see each other in the championship.
There you go.
I think that's it.
I think so.
So we have claimed our teams.
And neither team is playing in the first game.
We got to sit an extra day. Wait for it. Durf is the Houston Gambler, and Dylan is the Pittsburgh Mauler. I'm excited. Let's see if you get any more picks here. You got Ahmed Gooden, defensive end, in the third round.
All right.
And we have no one else yet. Still waiting. There you go. I'll get a graphic up of our teams. Don't worry. I'll be sure to post it. I might have to.
After their 35 rounds?
Yeah. Maybe tomorrow after the draft is complete.
There you go.
We'll get a full roster breakdown. That'll be next Tuesday's show. a full breakdown of the roster of our teams.
Bunch of practice squad guys. That's all we got to know.
Yeah. I don't think there's any breaking down to really do. I think the only guys you really need to break down are probably the quarterbacks. And then maybe look at some of your skill positions like wide receivers or running backs, see if there's any guys in there that might be some difference makers.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we're going to learn a whole lot about our defensive ends and offensive linemen. That's probably not much to learn there.
No, probably not.
But one thing I do want to learn for next week will be hopefully learn some rules about the league, see if there's anything different, like the XFL, you know, see if there's anything experimental that they're doing with the league. I'd like to know.
Yep.
And I'm also working on a guest that covers the USFL.
Oh, nice.
I tried to get him out for tonight, but it was too last notice. So,
okay.
So next week, more USFL as we prepare for that season to get started.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that's it. Anything that's just eating at your mind? We didn't get time to cover the NFL. So I don't know if there's something that's just eating at you that you really need to just tell the world. It's a blank message from Rapid Dave. Just nothing. It was just empty.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, there it is. He sent emojis. Yeah. Just in case anyone was wondering, Aaron Rodgers went on the Pat McAfee show and told us nothing. So
So we're doing this again this year.
Yeah, we're just doing this again. This whole offseason is just going to be Aaron Rodgers sending cryptic messages. And then he'll probably – he'll just end up playing for the Packers again in another season. That's just
– probably.
Like, just based off of all of this drama, of him doing cryptic messages and virtually saying nothing on the Pat McAfee show today, I can almost guarantee you he ends up back on the Packers at this point.
Yep.
I really didn't think it was going to happen, but this guy just eats up the drama.
Oh, yeah.
And then nothing happens.
Yeah. Yeah, unless he...
I do think they trade Jordan Love, though, this offseason.
I could see that happening. Because now Aaron Rodgers has that proof that he's like, look, he played a game. Look how crappy this team was.
I wonder if he'll get to pick his successor.
Like, well, it's not in this year's draft, I can tell you that.
No, but he might want Jordan Love traded, and then they either like swap some kind of quarterbacks, or, you know, before he leaves, he wants to make sure like his guy that he wants replacing him is back there. I don't know if he cares that much. I think deep down he cares. Like, he's been here his entire career. I think deep down he cares about Green Bay and wants to leave them in a good spot. And I think he knows Jordan Love is not leaving them in a good spot. So I think he has he has a plan.
Yeah.
He has a plan, but he's not going to tell us because he's a drama queen.
Well, yeah.
So he's going to be a Packer next year. I'm done. I'm locking in that answer. He's a Packer next year. I don't even care anymore. I just that's what I think, and I'm done. All right.
Oh yeah.
So that's all we got for this show. USFL, more USFL next week. And I think next week is actually our last show for a little while. Because I have a thing going on. I'm having surgery, so I'm going to be down and out for like the entire month of March. And then we'll pick it back up. Hopefully we'll be able to pick it back up in April while the USFL is getting ready to kick off in April. Yeah. Mid-April. So
draft coverage, draft mock stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, I'll be down and out, but we got plenty of stuff to research for heading into April.
Oh, yeah.
March is a crappy month. We don't need to talk about football for the month of March. There's nothing going on. We can get on here and talk about hockey. That's our show, everybody. Thank you very much. Join us next week. We'll be back.
On and off the field.